hybrid group. We meet at the Fred Hewitt Center at 11 a.m. Or you could check us out on Zoom. I have a service position in this home group, and I also just got elected to be the general service rep of my home group. I'm not saying any of that to brag as far as my position in the home group or the fact that I'm part of the district level of service. It's just I take a little bit more interest in something else other than myself, and I'm not drinking alcohol as a full-time job anymore. Just to qualify myself a little bit, towards the end of my drinking, I was a everyday drinker, just about. I drank large quantities of alcohol, and it literally just stopped working for me. Ran into some incidents that I wanted to push down, and alcohol literally stopped working. But I had no other choice but to keep drinking. And that's when I kind of realized the powerlessness and the hopelessness of my situation. I've been around you people for a number of years prior to coming to that conclusion. For myself, it's nothing that no meeting that I sat in, no speaker that I ever heard that could have brought me to that moment quicker. I had to have my own experience. So, yeah, that's pretty much what happened to me. Everyone has their war stories of scars and scrapes, and that's just the Spark Notes version of mine. So to begin, on page 96, the individual that I've approached, having had read this volume for themselves and having had the decision to go through the 12 steps, the 12 steps of the program of recovery. And me having gone through the program, I can be of service to them. I can help. I can give much practical advice because I've been there. I know what it's like. I can be available. This is us starting to work hand in hand, the whole shoulder to shoulder thing. Letting this person know that they don't have to be alone. I didn't have to be alone. Because of my previous run-in with you guys, I was pretty familiar with what you guys did around here. And once I pretty much learned how hopeless my situation was, I went to someone who have had the experience of their own. I went to a woman, and me having a vague idea of what the 12-step program was, I went to her for some practical advice to help me save my life. I did not like it. Didn't mean that I liked it. but she let me know she was available. If I wish to, you know, make this decision to do what they did. And she let me walk with her and tell my story with her along the way. And but she didn't insist that I stay with her. Like, there was no contracts. I didn't give a vial of blood. I didn't do any of that. If I decided I didn't want to speak to her ever again, she wasn't going to chase me. Even today, if I decided I never wanted to speak to her again, she's not going to chase me. The decision is still mine, whether I still want to seek this recovery and this practical advice that this person has, that now I now have, that I can pass on to someone else. as far as the giving question, and, you know, I spoke to my sponsor earlier, and I wanted to talk about some previous experiences that I had, that I have had. But she quickly helped me to understand, like, I have had some previous experiences where I have still been the taker in life, but it's has not been as egregious as it was when I was drinking. But in this matter, it's these are excuses I give myself. Man, if I get this car, I know I could get this job, man. I could put this bottle down, man. It'll be so different, man. This time it's going to be different. This is how, man. If I get my woman back, man, I'm telling you, I'm going to be a changed man. You know, I tell that to myself sometimes too, even though I am who I am. I'm going to be changed, man. It's going to be different. And, you know, and it's not, you know, as long as I put my dependence on outside things, you know, I used to say I want the money, the cars, and the H words. You know, I'm not going to say that because this is being recorded, you know, but I used to say these things. And the hood dreams, I want those things. And I can still get hood dreams sober, you know, but I always put the cart before the horse. You know, if I have these things, then I could get sober, get my life together, all these problems would go away. If I had all this money, I guarantee you I wouldn't have all these problems, you know, and that's just not true. That's not true. If I can just focus on everything that I have now, family, my job, I don't have much. My family, my job, my home, my peace of mind, no chaos. Everything I have is because I put those type of ambitions and those desires to the side to focus on putting a drink down and the 12 steps of recovery. And in doing the 12 steps of recovery, I was able to find this power, this God that comes up throughout the book, because you can't hide it. We're going to talk about it. But I was able to put some dependence in that, and everything else seemed to work out. But that had to get burned into my conscience. That's what had to get burned into my conscience. But it only started when I started walking with this person, having had the experience themselves. If I didn't go to this person who had the experience themselves, after I've tried a million and nine ways not to drink my own self, you know, with my own experience, because you talking didn't help me, you know, after I fell and it was just like, I can't do this anymore. And I went to someone having had the same experience, but they had the family, the peace of mind. Their emotions wasn't running them all over the place. They talked, it was like water. Like, it's like, I wanted that. I wanted someone to respect me. All of that came because they practiced the 12 steps of this program of recovery. And it sounded far-fetched to me too. But as I started to do these things, this whole higher power thing, everything that we just read, just is like, all I have to do is trust God and clean house. And I start cleaning house by talking to this person that has had the same experience and can give me the same practical advice. It was like making a cake. That's all I got for that part right there. Thank you, Morgan.
Thanks, Aaliyah. Leanne, take it away.
Hey, everybody. My name's Leanne, and I'm an alcoholic.
So Simple Actions is my home group, and my sobriety date is August 8th of 1999. And it's just a pleasure to be here with you guys and to get to share the screen with Aaliyah tonight. So when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I really had no desire to stop drinking. It was suggested by my spouse that I get help. And I had that moment of clarity between a divorce. I say a moment of clarity between a divorce and getting help. And I chose getting help. So I ended up in my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was a Tuesday night, and right down the street. And I was given by women, and they gave phone numbers. And can y'all hear me?
You cut off for a quick second, but it seems like you're back.
Okay. But anyway, so a group of women, they gave me the big book, told me to go home and start reading it, gave me phone numbers, and gave me a meeting to come back to the next night, which I did. And within a couple of weeks, I kind of got a gist of what this was about. And I had no idea how to live. I had no job. I was married. I had what I had because my husband had the money. I was just kind of going through life. I felt like I was this pinball in a machine, you know, just back and forth. And so I, you know, within a couple of weeks got a sponsor and really started to become accountable for the first time in my life. Cause I was a drinker that had bottles. My husband would work and I'd go out during the day trying to figure out where and how I was going to get my liquor from. I was a daily drinker at that point and would pretty much pass out every night. With my sponsor, she said, you know, just start calling me, and she'd give me a time every morning to call her. And so that's what I would do. And started to become accountable. Like, okay, so at 8:45 every morning, I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call her. And then there were certain meetings, you know, okay, I'm going to go over to the noon meeting over in Craddock. And I would do that. And then I began where we would meet at her house and start having some conversations. And so for me, that's where she had that practical advice. And it took me a while. I mean, I was kind of in for the program, like, okay, I'm gonna go to meetings, get this husband off my back. And that very first or second meeting, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, these people are living, they're happy, they're free, and they're not drinking. How in the world are they doing that? And I got hooked. It's like the magic started to happen for me. And when it said here, if you're available, if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story. And I did start telling my story. For the first time in my life, I started being honest with another human being. And that's what I find today when I'm sitting, you know, at a table with someone and we're sharing, whether it's over coffee or whatever, being honest and opening up to whatever was going up, you know, up in here. And it is that one alcoholic talking to another. On page 98, when it started talking about the matter of giving, when and how to give, you know, and for me today, that's really where my quiet time in the morning comes in. Something that I thought about today, there was a newcomer that I was talking with on the phone. I don't know if I'd started sponsoring her yet. But she was going to a meeting and I wasn't going to go to a meeting that night, but I heard through the grapevine that that meeting was canceled. It was Friday night over at Candlelight for some, I think Nest or the church, something happened. And it was like, intuitively, I knew I need to get over there and meet her. And we ended up in Starbucks, and that's where she started sharing her story and I started sharing mine and kind of getting to know each other. And that I had no plan of going to that meeting. I mean, it was like a split decision of you need to be there. And so kind of that when and how to give, like something just that I needed to be there. And that's where it says we're the minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely on our assistance rather than upon God. And for me, Alcoholics Anonymous is not a service program. it saves my life as much as it saves the newcomer. At the beginning of working with others, it talks about in there, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. So this is a two-way street. Like I need it just as much as the person that's sitting next to me when we're talking. And at the bottom of the paragraph on 98 that Morgan read when he said, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God or mine. My self-sufficiency, you know, where I've got this. And there is it's that surrendered state that I have to get to realize that I am hopeless. You know, I had one of those moments early on. I remember exactly where I was. And there was that, it's like a thought to me that came that said, you may be hopeless, but you're not helpless. And that was after I'd been to just a couple of Alcoholics Anonymous meetings because there were a group of people there that were willing to help me if I was willing to take it and to ask for it. And it's made all the difference for me in my sobriety. And I think that's all I've got.
Awesome. Thank you both. All right. I'm going to share the screen again. The next readings are also going to be on page 98. Now, the domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family, and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. Though his family be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. Yep, that's it for that one. All you, Aaliyah.
Okay. My drinking caused a lot of strain on the family. Happily, fortunately, I have a mom that is also a member of this program, so that helps. And with the help of my sponsor, I've been able to mend some fences with the rest of my family. There's parts of my mind that want to argue and fault find. And I mean, I'm human. I can lapse into my better judgment, but if I persist on with the principles that you guys have taught me. The relationships in which I thought, it's like, there's no way in heck I can ever have a relationship with this person. No way. That they've done me so wrong. I have a relationship with a stepfather that I don't like. It's one of those situations where, you know, you take the bit in your teeth when you you guys went over step four, you know, making amends to the person that you I guess hated or disliked. Like, I can laugh with my stepfather. I can smile with my stepfather. I can be cordial with my stepfather. You know, just came back from North Carolina. My dad pissed me off. Some of my character defects came out. You know, it wasn't very pretty. I was in my feelings for about 2-3 days. I ruined the trip. It's all, you know, it's my fault. But I mean, ruin it to my, you know, perfectionist standards, not ruined it. I was still able to see my siblings and everything. I was able to talk to my father and we were still able to laugh and everything. Me and my father did not have the greatest of relationships growing up. Because of this program, I have been able to allow him into my life. I'm learning things about myself from that relationship that I'm still working on, but I'm becoming a better person for it. And that's because of these steps and a higher power. I have to keep trying, you know? I have to keep trying to work these principles in all of my affairs. Regardless, family or no family, job or no job. Like, these are the things that infiltrated my life that made drinking look good. It made it look like this is the thing. It eased my mind. It made me feel good, you know? But then it ruined my life. And by working this, I get to come out of that a better person. No, I'm not who I was before. I'm not the person I was in my cups. I'm not the person who I was pre-cups. I get to come out a better person, you know? Because of principles. And I never had this. Never had this in my life at all. Not only do I get to practice this with my family, I get to practice this with the world at large. The most incompatible people wherever. You know? I'm sorry, I just never imagined something like that for me. For me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy for a person like me. Like, I don't deserve that. Or at least I didn't think I did. You know? It's rooms like this and people like you. Seriously. Seriously. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say. Go ahead, Leanne. I don't know what else to say.
Thank you.
So I'm kind of going to go back to that, burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well, regardless of anyone. The only condition is he trusts in God and clean house. And I came here with a boatload of domestic problems. it was blame, 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 blame. Took me a little while, but I began to start seeing where I was setting the ball in motion. There was no surrender. that duct tape, I remember Sue telling me to take some duct tape and sit it on the counter. And I mean, physically, like, I did that so that I could see that, because I had to learn to zip my mouth. you know, it says argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague. We all know what a plague is now. So, you know, and it had to be done. It says it's, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. There's a must there in the book. And if persisted for a few months or a few years, the effect on Amin's family is sure to be great. And it is a process. It takes time. It takes practice. The love and tolerance. It takes prayer. It takes talking to my sponsor, taking direction, and all that stuff. Still today, like I'm talking in the now as well. But I knew that the program, my sponsor, the steps, all of that stuff, that decision that I'd made once I made it, that, okay, I'm going to go through with this. And I did, I gave it a year. That was kind of my mark when I first came in. I'll do this for a year and let's see what happens. And things got better. But that was the place where I had to be, you know, where it wasn't, I need to stay home with the family tonight. I can't go to a meeting. No, you know, I tried those excuses, and it never got me anywhere. But that thought, like Aaliyah talked about, the, you know, the taker, never the giver. It was all about, what I could get. From the world, from Alcoholics Anonymous, from my sponsor, just that, you know, take. And it wasn't until I remember joining a home group, and it's just so awesome to see Aaliyah with the GSR thing, because I remember, I think mine was intergroup. They had a meeting. I was out of town or something, and I came back and they said, oh, you're the intergroup rep. You know, and it's like I started giving back. Like that was a way of me to be of service, making the coffee. And so it's just awesome to get to see that light pop on with people in the program that, you know, I mean, the people in Craddock, when I would go over there to that meeting, you know, the old timers, there were a bunch of old men over there, and they saved my life for sure. I mean, they just, you know, were kind and loving and tolerant. that was, you know, where they would talk to me about, we'll come in early, and introducing me to some of the women, you know, that would come in, that kind of thing. So, that's kind of what I've been raised. I mean, I say that because I just felt like I was in kindergarten when I got here, you know, and maybe I'm in fifth grade now. I don't know. but it's that I was raised in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like this is where life and the principles, just everything has come, you know, for full circle for me. Where I was so afraid of being alone. I couldn't imagine not being married. I love in the 12 and 12, when it says, our main problem is not how we are to stay married, it's how to be more happily married by eliminating the severe emotional twists that have so often stemmed from alcoholism. Well, that's talking about me. That's talking about my alcoholism, my emotional twists. The fourth and fifth step certainly was a big part of that, but even the amends, you know, to come around into where actually made direct amends to my husband. And for me, that was, there's something that following this process, brings me to a place where I can be at peace on the inside. And I didn't know whether we would stay married or not. You know, that was one of those things that I surrendered. I just said, you know, I don't know. And it was kind of cool. I just talked to my brother the other day and he was telling me an experience. He's not in the program, but this is where I guess even non-alcoholics can get this, but there was a decision that he was making and he was kind of hitting some of those brick walls. And he said, you know, he just prayed to God one night, that night, and said, I don't know if this is supposed to happen or not. But I'm okay if it doesn't, like, just show me, you know, give me a sign or something. And he went on with things, and, you know, the situation, showed itself. And that's kind of how Alcoholics Anonymous has been for me and with my husband, where I just surrendered and said, I don't know, what this is about, whether we're gonna, you know, cause I always have that want to know. And, surrendered that, and it's worked out. And that doesn't happen all the time, but, it's helped me, to have an experience to where I might be able to share that with somebody else that's new. And it's not for me to tell them what to do. All I can tell them about is my experience and my story. And if I don't have it, then I need to keep my mouth shut. And that's been hard for me, that, you know, thinking I know everything and I don't. But I do have a lot of experience with that from when I first came in. That's all I got.
Thank you. Right. Our next reading is going to be on, drum roll, page 100. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. Leah.
So this goes back to the whole we walk shoulder to shoulder thing, like Leanne had shared. Like we glean off of one another. But here it goes again. If I persist, like I have to keep doing this thing. Like this is not a one and done thing. I have to keep doing this thing. And remarkable things will happen. I was having a conversation with someone last week. And it was just like, man, like, you know, I used to think this was so cliche. Like, I mean, used to, like, almost like 2.5 years ago, used to. But like, seriously, probably about 6 months ago, used to think this was very cliche. My worst day sober is better than my best day drunk. I used to think that was so cliche, literally, until about 3 weeks ago. And I mean, I did. And it's just like, but like really consider the depth of that. Like I can literally feel like, you know, it's a crappy day or whatever, but I didn't inflict no pain on nobody. I didn't drunk call, drunk text nobody. I didn't drunk drive nowhere. I'm not reeking of alcohol. I went to work today. I was helpful to somebody. I called somebody. I've been honest with my words and my actions and my deeds all day long. I'm just feeling emotionally a little icky. And what's usually the source of that? I did something crazy. You know what I'm saying? I probably stepped on somebody's toes. See, but I know that today, you know? Back then, no. No to all of that. No to all of that. I can't make this up. I simply cannot make this up. If I'm arguing, this is how I see it. And I have this posted. I have this posted somewhere on my Facebook page. It's been that way, honestly, since I was around you guys. But I even have it here in my big book. If I'm arguing with reality, I am not relying on God. Because everything to me, everything is happening as it should. If I'm practicing what you guys have taught me, I relatively should not have any real serious issues going on in my life, unless I've caused them in some way, shape, or form. There's no bitterness towards me. I have no chaos in my life. Like, I'm free. I'm not obsessing about alcohol. I can go anywhere. I don't want to skip ahead, but I'm free. I don't think about it. I have not built my world around alcohol in over five years. My job doesn't go around my drinking schedule. When I visit my family, that doesn't go around my drinking schedule. How long I stay or visit someone doesn't go around my drinking schedule. How long I interact with someone doesn't go around my drinking schedule. Whether I purchase a puppy or not purchase a puppy, how long I keep that puppy, or whether I'm going to shelter or rehome that puppy does not go around my drinking schedule. Now, whether I want to sleep a little longer does go around whether I walk my puppy, but not if I'm hungover from the night before and woke up and I'm still drinking. I'm not doing the drunk gymnastics anymore. I don't have to do that anymore. My side don't hurt from drinking. My body isn't swollen from drinking. I used to complain that my eye colors was starting to get kind of yellow, that little tinge thing. I'm not complaining about that anymore. I used to want to be in the dark all the time. I love the sunlight. Still not an early bird, but I love the sunlight. You know, I never knew I liked these things. My only job really was to drink and make enough money to maintain my drinking habit, whoever would take me. And then I didn't know that my attitude was, it was just so much that went with it, that it wasn't just my, to learn that there was other things that was compounded with my drinking shocked me. I was shocked. You know how people clutch their pearls and go, I'm shocked and appalled? That's how I felt. I am shocked and appalled. What do you mean my yelling is a problem? I'm from New York. I talk like this. You're supposed to just take that. My sponsor from like one of my first phone calls with her, she was like yelling. Call me back when you call.
You froze.
Down. I learned much. It was just like extra freedoms on top of freedoms. It's like I'm free. Like I'm free today. And it's only because of this program. Like it's only because of this program. So that's all I got.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaliyah. This is the biggest promise for me, and it's been the truth. I didn't like you guys when I got here. I didn't want to have to go to meetings. Didn't want to have to put in the work. You know, that's the way I looked at to the person that couldn't hold down a job, that couldn't work. But it's it's beautiful, like to see the light come on in somebody's eyes, to say them, hear them say, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about drinking like in 2 days, to hear them call me on the phone after they've made an amends to a brother or sister, or a parent, a friend, a coworker. Or to have an experience, like when it says, when we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned, like for them to have a moment with God of their understanding, whatever that is, you know, just where there's been a shift in their perception. And I remember those, you know, what they've been for me. For my sister, I remember the time that when I sat down to make amends to her, and I really thought I hadn't wronged her. And it wasn't until I was in that moment sitting across the table from her, making amends, where I realized how much she really loved and cared for me and the way that I had treated her. And being able to, you know, share that with somebody that was getting ready to go make an amends to their sister, or who thought they didn't have amends to make. And this really is following the dictates of a higher power. My experience the last few years really kind of opened up. I find it a lot in nature, working outside, being on my knees in the dirt. I've done a lot of that the past couple of days, and quieting my mind, you know, that thinking, that machine up there, and it still can go. But I can, there are ways that meditative, you know, that I can get, whether it's sitting quietly and reading, or working out in the yard. There was something I was going to say about that reading. I guess just the walking with somebody in the program. This morning I woke up and it was that thing of, okay, God, what do you have in store for me today? Like, you know, just that part of that 11th step. And I had 3 phone calls that I had to make first thing this morning. And I don't like doing that stuff, you know, following up or whatever it is that, you know, with the calls that I had to make. But I did them today. It was just that thing of, okay, this is what's on my plate and what is being asked of me. And did it. And those are the things that I ran from. You know, it's funny, when we got ready to start this meeting, this little piece of paper fell out of my book. And this fits me to a T. It says, peacemaker sees a problem, talks to person about the problem. Peacekeeper sees a problem, keeps peace at all costs. And that was me. I was that peacekeeper. I might see the problem, but I'm going to keep peace at all costs. I'm not going to have that conversation. And today it's wonderful. I've got people in my life, a sponsor who I can talk to on the phone about something that maybe I don't want to do, but I need to do, or have a conversation with a spouse, whatever it is, to where, I put it on the table. It's not that she's telling me what to do, but I'm talking to another human being before I go present something or bring up something to my husband or to a coworker, whatever it is. Because left to my own devices, it's just that thing that sometimes I just don't have the right thought. Or I remember my first sponsor said, "Leanne, your presentation kind of sucks." And so it was, okay, you know, I'm going to I talk about these things. And then sometimes I get, you know, I remember one time my husband saying, "Who told you to say that?" Because it was not early on. It just was not, it wasn't me. You know, I just came in there full throttle. But anyway, but it's, I just love Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm just, it's one of those things where, when Aaliyah talked to me earlier today, you know, that she was going to share tonight, I didn't even know that I was going to be here at that time when we were talking. And, anyway, and then to be able to share with her that, hey, I'm, you know, I'm going to be sharing with you Simple Actions tonight. And that's been the bright spot of my life today. You know, it's something that I never know what God's got in store for me. That's all I got, Morgan.
Thank you both. I'm going to read one more, and if y'all each want to wrap up about 2 minutes apiece, if that's cool. Last one that I will read is right here, also on page 100. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go into their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance for sobriety would be someplace like the Greenland ice cap. And even there, an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places on the theory he would escape the alcohol problem. Oh, yep, that's it. That'll be our last reading for tonight. Couple minutes each, wrap it up.
Okay. assuming we're spiritually fit, we can do all these things that we're not supposed to do. In the beginning, you know, I couldn't be around any of that stuff or my old friends or anything like that because I haven't really begun to surrender my nature so I can walk through sobriety. I didn't even necessarily know what my nature was, but having had gotten a sponsor who had this same experience I had with drinking, that's they drink like I drink. They've been through the 12 steps of the program. And following her practical advice through recovery, just doing the steps as she herself has done it and her sponsor before her, and persisted along the way. My words are messing up now. I myself am able to do these things now. I can go to weddings that have a wet bar. Or a dry bar, it doesn't matter. I can go anywhere as long as I'm spiritually fit and my motives are right. I'm not trying to vicariously live through someone.
I think you froze again.
Mostly thinking about myself and me and my woes. I probably should not attend such events, you know, or I can bring a sober friend. You know, if it's an engagement, I absolutely have to attend. It tells us in other things, as long as I'm being helpful and look helpful, helpfulness and friendliness, I can pretty much go anywhere. I can do whatever I want. You know, through this program, I'm given a choice. I always have a choice. I can go on to the bitter end, blocking out my bitter, soddy experience, or I could pick up the kit of spiritual tools. And the 12th step is carrying the message and walking with someone and giving the tools away. And I like the 12th step. I should practice it more often. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay. I've just said that untreated alcoholism, you know, just that if I still have an alcoholic mind, and that there's something wrong with my spiritual status. There are two real quick that came back to me. I remember my brother was getting married in my dad's backyard. And 2 years before that, my sister had gotten married in my dad's backyard. And I'd just come in August, and my brother was getting married in October, and I was in his wedding. And I remember thinking, you know, I remembered being there in my sister's wedding, you know, and what that was like, looking at the bar, trying to figure out what I was going to get. And how am I going to do that? And my sponsor really talked to me about, you know, you're there to be of service. You're going to take your own car. You know, then if you feel like you need to leave, you could leave. And which I did, like around 8:30, I think my husband and I left and went on home. You know, I participated, did what I needed to do with the wedding party. And then people started getting drunk and I came home. And the other was going into an ABC store on the way home. And at that point, I think my husband had gone to a meeting with me, and he stopped at the ABC store and he said, I'm going to run in. Don't you want to come in? And I went. Like, I have no business just being in an ABC store, especially in my probably first 20 days of being in AA. I still don't go in an ABC store. Some people do, you know, gifts or whatever, but that's just not for me. But I can go to weddings. I can, you know, what this says, it's, there's a real freedom there today. But for me, it really did take some time to be around it, or how to, like, when people ask, do you want a drink? It's like, yeah, I'll take a ginger ale, you know, but I had to be taught this stuff. Like, it didn't come to me. It's like, oh, what am I going to say? You know, when they ask me, do I want a drink? Or, you know, just that uncomfortableness, which today it's left. Like, there's no, it doesn't exist anymore. And for anybody that's new, like, there is a real freedom in that. And it came as a result of, you know, being willing to surrender and find a sponsor and take the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and continue to do that on a daily basis. There's no day off. And I'm grateful for that today. Thanks.
All right. Thank you both for an awesome meeting. I really appreciate it. I love you both. You're awesome. All right. I have put our seventh tradition PayPal link in the chat. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. All contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses. The seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Do we have any announcements? I can take a couple quick announcements. You should be able to unmute yourself. Right. Well, I have one. This home group next week, right here in this same Zoom room with this same link, are having a supperless speaker this time, since we're meeting on Zoom. Normally, after we go through the steps, we'd have a huge meal and nice little party and have a speaker. But next week is going to be different. We're going to have a speaker telling his story. His name is Jack B, coming down from, logging on from Baltimore, Maryland. And it's going to be a great time. So hopefully I see y'all there. And Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. All home group members, please raise your hands. All right. Sponsorship questions. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available right here in this Zoom room after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. And if you're shy, feel free to send an email to info@simpleactions.net. In closing, I will let everybody thank the panel afterwards. Well, yeah, let's just do it after the prayer. And I have asked Mike F. to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. Give me 1 second, I'll put that up. Oh, nope, you get format. All right, there we go. You see that, Mike?
Yeah, could you scroll it up a little? There you go.
Better?
Hey, everybody, I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic.
Mike.
A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and clear away. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you for reading. All right, and I guess we can go ahead and close this out with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Leanne. Thank you, Aaliyah. I had a blast.
Thanks, Aaliyah. Really appreciate both of y'all.
All right. Can y'all unmute? Thumbs up, thumbs. Oh my God. I don't know why it does this to me. All right. Let's see. What about now?
Yes. Yep. Thank you.
Yay. Here we go. Right. Thanks, Leanne. Thanks, Aaliyah.
Thanks, Aaliyah. Thank you. Thank you. You guys were amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Morgan. Thanks, good job, man.
Thanks, Lee.
That was the best, guys. Thanks.
You were beautiful.